Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the intro gag.
Ah.
I love a good intro gag.
It's like so intro gag banter.
Yeah. And welcome to another extremely funny and clever episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. Donate your car today. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
And we buy ugly houses.
That's right.
Great. I'm going to have the Cars for Kids song stuck in my head for the rest of the night. Thanks for that, Eric.
The rest of the world. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, yikes. All of our listeners in Europe don't have to deal with the 1-877 Cars for Kids jingle.
You mean K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
The sponsor of the show is K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
I realize this is my own fault. I'm still really mad.
Why?
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of being really mad, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Do I have to?
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to.
Okay, fine. Oh, what the hell, I'll do it anyway, just for the sake of tradition. You can hit us up on social media at 12pointsUSA on either Facebook or Twitter. We do read your comments. We definitely get to get back to you. We really do appreciate any message that comes our way because we like the attention. Or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Good times. Great oldies. I'm in a mood today, guys.
I'm glad that we've become a drive time 60s and 70s hits of yesteryear podcast.
Yep. What's your favorite Eurovision song of yesteryear, and why is it
the Ding a Dong?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Ding a Dong is pretty damn awesome.
We have a little bit of news before we get into our burning question and our very, very closely related main topic. So let's talk about Damiano for just a little bit.
Yes, please.
Yes, this is going to be a painstaking Damiano fanboying / fangirling show for a bit, I feel. Just seems like it's what's going to happen. So this isn't even news, but it made me so happy. As a diehard fan of Eurovision and a diehard fan of the game of basketball, I was so excited to learn, and this was posted by some account related to Eurobasket, which is the basketball association in Europe, going all the way from amateur clubs all the way up to professional level, kind of like how a lot of the soccer organizations are set up, kind of the same thing. Apparently, our pal Damiano was a decent basketball player as a kid before he decided to do some other stuff. Again, this isn't news. I don't know why we're talking about this, besides that I wrote it on the sheet.
I have seen the picture, and it is so far back that you really have to be told it's Damiano in order to see it in his face.
Disagree. I saw that picture and I'm like, that is obviously Damiano. He was kind of smoldering into the camera at a remarkably young age without the
half centimeter of eyeliner.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, in other Damiano and by extension other Måneskin news, they have made the cover of Vanity Fair in Italy and their annual pride issue, which is pretty cool, actually. Just the fact that, I'm not sure if it's just because they are the Eurovision winner, I'm sure they had this in the works well before Eurovision, but the fact that the Sanremo winner has had such massive success in Italy, and it's extended to this, it's beyond just the music. Now they're becoming cultural figures. It's very, very cool to see, especially for an act that is so young. They're continuing to have massive success on global charts, including not just Zitti Buoni, but also other singles from their first album. Their album itself is doing super, super well. It's making major, major headway on global charts, both on streaming as well as actual sales in countries outside of Europe. And it's really very cool to see just this massive, massive crossover appeal that they continue to have. We're seeing a lot of motion on their follow-ups, and I'm not even sure if you can really call it a follow-up single. It's just another song that people have glommed onto called I Want to Be Your Slave, which in some markets is actually doing even better than Zitti Buoni, which kind of makes sense considering it's in English. It just, you go onto YouTube and it's interesting that the number one most viewed performance of this song happens to be from Wee Wee Blogs. And
what?
Yeah, it's because they performed I Want to Be Your Slave and Zitti Buoni for a concert that they hold every year called the Wee Wee Jam.
Oh, I thought you meant that Wee Wee Blogs did like a cover.
Oh, God, no.
The crew just whipped it all out. Yeah.
Oh, God. Deban, no offense, but no.
Are you saying they wouldn't look good in laced up leather?
You know, whatever they're into in their spare time. I mean, it is a bold look, but very few can pull it off.
I've noticed in the last couple of days also, I didn't put this in our notes, but I guess in Italy and in other parts of Europe, it has become a meme to blame Måneskin for all of the world's problems.
Just like
as an extreme response to like the cocaine thing.
Oh, sure.
Or just other really non-issue controversies that they've had. Mm-hmm. And apparently, as an example, a very popular Italian meme account today posted a thing on their Instagram blaming Måneskin for starting the Punic Wars.
Damn it.
So, yeah, bad news, everyone. Måneskin is canceled. Nah.
Oh, man. Nah. I knew that Ethan was up to something.
So quiet.
I know.
There's one last bit of news on this sheet, and it was something that I was aware of, but I haven't looked into at all. Eurovision has released the live on tape shows. Now, are these the shows that were used sort of like as a backup in case sort of like coronavirus really had a crazy resurgence before the contest?
Yep. Basically, they produced a show built around these backup performances that otherwise would never have seen the light of day. And I haven't seen it. I will say I haven't seen everything yet. It's been a little difficult to find the time the last couple of weeks, but...
And also it's geo-blocked in the US, so you have to go through VPN and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. VPN is your friend if you want to check this out. It is on the Eurovision YouTube page, just not in the US. But I definitely checked out, in some cases, a couple of times through. They did it as a couple of different shows. The first was they highlighted all of the songs that didn't qualify for the final, which is kind of a cool way to do it. And then the second show, basically, they rebuilt the grand final using these backup performances. Also kind of a cool idea. Mm. And I guess going in, my big question was, were any of these different enough that it could have changed the makeup of the final itself if they'd done these performances instead?
Mm.
And... maybe. There are a few in particular that I think are really worth checking out as really good compared to what we got, to what we saw. One, I hate to say, is the Czech Republic. The energy level is so different. You know how it just seemed there was just something lacking from the stage performances that Benny had in Rotterdam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that bubbly, fun personality, or it wasn't showing as much as it did like in the music video or in his interviews, including the one with us, where he was just a delight. Mm. You know, the live on tape performance, it really has that. On a similar note, Roxen, Amnesia, it was like a more refined version of what we got in Rotterdam, which is weird because I think you would hope that it would get better as it went on, but for some reason, like, maybe it's just when it got to that much bigger stage, it was just tougher to do whatever they were doing.
It just didn't coalesce.
I don't know, the performance of Amnesia has that sort of panicked, almost claustrophobic sort of a feel to it, and on a huge stage that's tough to pull off. On the smaller stage that they had to use for the pre-recorded, not so tough. It just worked. It worked way better.
Mm.
I don't know. It's weird. The other one, you're not going to believe this, you guys.
No.
The other
is
one.
Is it Moldova?
No.
Is it Georgia?
No, because that qualified. No, Georgia was about the same.
Okay.
I think the big difference with Georgia is that his singers were on stage with him, I want to say. And he might have been sitting down for some of it.
Sure.
Or something like that. So it was a little more like the music video in that regard.
He was actually sleeping.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say this. And I'm not saying it would have qualified, but God, it was orders of magnitude better.
Denmark?
Latvia? No.
Poland.
What?
So you
hold
know how,
on
you know how on stage,
for the ride of your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know how on stage it was a total mess, in part because they were just showing the music video in the background?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the live on tape, they had an actual background. They had a fully realized stage performance. The lights and the hands actually kind of made more sense. The whole thing aesthetically actually kind of worked.
Why would you not? I mean, what?
Right. Like, why did they change to something so much worse? I the mind boggles.
I thought is that there was either some sort of a technical reason why they couldn't use their originally intended background, or there was an intentional decision made to not.
It's a punt. I don't know.
They had it all on the jump drive, but then someone took it out of the computer without saying safely eject hardware.
Oh.
And it got lost.
Well, we still have the music video. Just throw that up there. Yeah, I don't know. One other note on these that is a little bit interesting. There are two countries that I believe the way they phrased it was elected not to be a part of this and to not show the live on tapes. And that was the UK and Ireland. I am curious.
Solidarity at last.
Yeah. British Isles finally agree on something. And that's this live on tape business is not good. Mm. But I wonder what happened with those. I'm guessing we'll never know. But
just bitter.
It could have just been it wasn't good enough, and they just didn't want to share it. It was possibly still a work in progress. They might just not want to dwell on their respective last place finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to rub salt in the wound.
Yeah, just looking at some of the others. I mean, Australia's was the same because it's what we got anyway.
Right.
Croatia, Slovenia, North Macedonia, all pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Latvia's was a little bit different. The vocals were better. It still wouldn't have qualified, I don't think, but it was better. Uku's was a little more like the national final. He had the chains on him.
Sure.
And then Denmark and Austria were pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Of the acts where I thought, wow, this performance really is different and could have really elevated it possibly to qualifying status, I think the only one that really jumped out to me was probably Roxanne from Romania. That live on tape performance really worked well for the song and for her. Clearly she was less nervous, the space was better for the visual presentation and all that. And that made me wonder, do you suppose, like, let's say you're the Romanian delegation, you can tell it's not working, that it's not coming together, could they have, and if so would they have, potentially said, play the pre-recorded instead? We know we're already here, but can you play the live on tape anyway?
That's a question right there.
I don't think they would have allowed it.
Yeah,
I feel like they would have said no.
Yeah, and also I feel like they would have known that doing that would have really kind of been embarrassing.
It would have been a massive, massive gamble and probably a bit of a PR nightmare, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, like speaking as somebody who's worked in the press sector of a delegation, keep things simple.
Yeah, people
just,
would
just keep it simple.
All of the correspondents would snatch that up.
Yeah, but I mean, the people doing the jury voting and the televoting, would they care? Would they know the difference?
I don't know.
I'm not necessarily endorsing this. It's just an interesting thought, I think. That, like,
my thing is, why do it unless you think your song has like a shot of being top three or top five? It's diminishing returns in order to, you know, to put that up there. It's like, for what? Not to poop on that song, but...
But I mean, I guess just in that exact scenario where it's like, this is not working on stage. If we do this, we don't qualify. If we show the live on tape instead, we have a chance.
I mean,
if you fake
a positive COVID test, then you would have the option of either.
Oh, yeah, no. I get the feeling that like that would be kind of unkosher because that's the only acceptable reason why we had people do on tape. We had Iceland because they had the COVID diagnosis, and we had Australia because, my God, it's Australia.
It's far away.
I feel like just being like, our show's not good enough, I feel like that's exploiting the privilege that has been granted to them.
Right. And you don't go into a competitive show with a defeatist attitude like that.
Yeah.
It's just.
But some people do. I mean,
well, do they win? Do they end up winning? Do they end up doing well?
Oh, no.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I won't say which delegation, but we did speak to a delegation in 2018 who says it's different when you know you're not going to qualify.
Oh, no.
And I was
did
like,
they indeed
well,
not qualify?
They did not.
So, well, I guess again, you don't have to say who it was, but what were they? What is different about it?
What did they mean by that? They just, I think, I can't remember who we were talking about. We were talking about a different delegation, and they were like really, really stressed out because I think they were kind of on the cusp of qualifying or not.
Hmm.
And it was at lunch at a restaurant, and there was a bunch of other delegations there. Sam was there, and yeah. They came over and we said something to them and they said, yeah, it's easier when you know. And I can agree with that. I mean, they didn't like slough it. They still put in the effort to do a good show, mm-hmm. but you could kind of tell like, this is it. They knew like, this is the end. We're only going to get one shot at this and then we're going to go home.
Hmm.
Right.
Like there isn't quite as much pressure to succeed when you know you won't.
Yeah.
Like just go have a good time.
And
or when you don't expect to go any further. It's just,
And you see a lot of the top favorites in the betting odds, you know, you can see the pressure on a lot of them because they're like, ooh, we might actually get this. And, you know, they're kind of scrambling a bit to make sure everything's perfect versus like somebody's like, yeah, we're probably not going to come top five, but, you know, we'll give it our best effort.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, you're still being seen by millions and millions of viewers. Even if you know you don't have a, you know, snowball's chance in a microwave of qualifying, you still want to get yourself out there. So you go out there and put on the best show you can, but the pressure and the energy is very, very different. You don't go out and, you know, make a fool out of yourself just because, I had nothing to lose. But you feel a little bit looser and a little bit more in the moment rather than in the competition, I guess you can almost say.
Yeah. How do you think that delegation would have responded if they somehow had qualified?
They'd be overjoyed.
Yeah. And not, like, disappointed. disappointed, like, oh no, we have to stay or anything like
no,
that?
No, I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I think yeah. everybody comes into it knowing that there's a chance, but I think for some people, they're just like, yeah, things aren't going our way.
And then there's the one backup dancer who's like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be hosting a party on Saturday now.
This was my excuse to get out of going to my brother's wedding. Kind of switching out to the backup tape, it's an interesting question because at the same time, I can't help but wonder if Australia would have done slightly better, maybe not qualify, but better than they did had they been on site.
Or if everyone else had not been on site.
Yeah.
If they weren't just the odd ones out. Mm-hmm. If there were like three or four other acts that weren't present.
Yeah. Australia yeah. was 14th in the semi. But they were 28 points.
I thought they were better than that.
I agree.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean it was behind Amen, the Slovenian Amen, which it was better than that.
Slovenian Amen really sounds like an injury you'd receive from a North Italian gang.
Give them the Slovenian Amen.
The old Slovenian Amen.
If you don't have the money by Thursday, give you the Slovenian
Amen.
Amen
for you. Perfect.
All right, let's move to our burning question, which is actually going to be our main topic. This is why we tell you guys to reach out to us on social, because sometimes you guys have a good enough idea that sort of stirs something up in our minds that we make an entire show out of it. So this burning question comes from a friend of the show, Rob Rabinski, who asked, as best as possible, play the prediction game of whether 2020 entries would have done better than 2021. He adds, clearly France doesn't make that trade. Tears with joy emoji. But like, does Lithuania make top five with On Fire?
I think he was specifically asking about the returning artists as well. So
yes,
that
exactly.
also helps
you know,
us.
We can't,
that also, yeah.
That narrows that down. You know, we're not going to talk about Ben Dolich versus Jendrick, even though Ben Dolich would have been top five easy, IMO.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think it was a top five song. I think that guy would have had a serious stage presence problem.
Oh, I do forget about that. We didn't get to see a lot of them on stage, which is another sort of complicating factor here. But my God, the list of the returning artists was much bigger than I remembered. How many do we have in this list? 23?
26.
26.
We could have a grand final of returnees.
Yeah, just...
Exactly 2/3 of the field, basically, was returning artists from 2020. Interestingly, I guess, neither of the top two in the grand final were returning artists.
Mm.
Two newbies won and finished second, respectively.
But three out of the top five
were new. Six were returning, quote unquote. And then, So, yeah, basically what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at these 26 acts. Take a look at each of them sort of individually. Not entirely like in a vacuum, but just sort of say, here is their song from 2020. Here's a song for 2021. Suppose they had a choice between the two. What might they have done? What would we have done? What might have been different for them? We'll see. I think there's a very wide range of potential outcomes to some of these. So
yeah.
So we're just going to go through them. Again, there are 26 of them. So let's just get started. We start with Australia. Australia had Don't Break Me last year, Technicolor this year.
They're remarkably similar. A lot of these songs that we're going to get to are at least maybe they switch from a banger to a ballad or from a ballad to a banger. She's still sending the same kind of very intellectual pop.
I feel like the story in Don't Break Me was a bit more compelling.
Sure.
Technicolor was a little weird, a little too artsy, I think, for a lot of people, that hyper pop kind of style and some of the that lead into the chorus. We got style and lasers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that line. I love that line. I know it's weird.
I love the song. I think it's great. But like listening to it, I'm like, ooh, this is risky. Like it. I feel like Don't Break Me was a little bit more digestible, I think, for a wider audience.
Sure.
I feel like I prefer Technicolor, one, just because it was more immediately catchy to me, more immediately uplifting. And two, I like it when a song takes risks. And I feel like Technicolor took more risks, both in style and in terms of vocal quality.
And yes, vocal quality. I was going to say her performance was much stronger in Technicolor, the staged version, than in Don't Break Me.
Agreed. So yeah, for me, I go Technicolor.
I feel like they had plenty of time to make Don't Break Me better as a stage thing. Sure. But I feel like I'm going to say this for quite a few songs in this discussion. I feel like the 2020 song probably would have done a bit better and still would have struggled to qualify. at least in terms of the songs that didn't qualify at the beginning. I don't know. Wasn't super high on either song. I think both were mildly risky. I think from a Eurovision perspective, I guess we'll assume whichever one of these is being performed on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for each of these, we'll just kind of go around really quickly and pick one. I think I give my vote just barely to Don't Break
Me. Mine's Technicolor.
I will also go with Technicolor, both in terms of personal preference and how I think they would have done in a hypothetical head-to-head.
I think if they would have kept the single shot staging idea for Don't Break Me, I think that would have been really impressive too.
So that's your vote, Derek?
I'm gonna say Don't Break Me.
Right. Ooh, split decision.
Split decision.
Well, I can live with that because I think Australia is a wash. They're both the same quality for me.
Yeah. Mm. All right. This next one is a much bigger jump between the two. We have Vincent Buena from Austria, Alive 2020, which was a bop, and Amen in 2021, which was not.
I think Eric and I, we both agreed that Amen really came together on stage. It looked incredible. He sounded great. I bet Alive would have been a lot of fun, though. I mean, he really is an excellent dancer.
That's how I feel. Amen is sort of, it feels like Amen feels like a recipe that requires a great chef to elevate it, but Alive is just that recipe works no matter who's cooking it.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I feel like Alive was a sure bet either way. Amen got, you know, anyway. I feel like the only reason why we really fell in love with Amen at the end was just because of what Vincent had to do to it.
I mean, he elevated it beautifully. I mean, vocal quality was fantastic. The staging that we ended up seeing for Amen was really very, very impressive. It's so hard to compare these two. They're so, so different, but they both play into Vincent's strengths. One is as sort of a showman and as an interpreter of song. One is sort of this all around, you know, singer, dancer, like double threat in that kind of way.
Yeah, in one of them, he gets to emotionally belt, and the other one, he gets to sing Shika Shikaka.
Shika Shikaka.
Yeah. Like a Chicka Cherry Cola.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could go for one of those right now.
By the way, my vote is for Alive.
Alive.
Alive, but it's close.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be the one here. I'm going to say Amen.
Sure.
I think Alive was fine. I don't know that it would have stood out quite in the way that we're hoping. It's just a solid up-tempo song, but that isn't necessarily on its own make it a qualifier. And looking at the numbers again, I think Amen underperformed in terms of the score it should have gotten. I think I'm perhaps unintentionally comparing how I think Amen should have done to how I think Alive would have done, as opposed to how well Amen did. This is very convoluted, but no, I think between these two on a Eurovision stage, I think Amen, I was going to say it was the right choice. It wasn't actually a choice. I think it would be the better option between the two.
Okay.
So that it's a bit more of splitting hairs at this point, but at this point, that is a 3-1 Alive over Amen.
Not for an easy choice.
All right, we move on to Azerbaijan. Cleopatra versus Cleopatra 2.0. Yeah, Cleopatra versus Mata Hari.
Yes. Sir, would you like your credit card or would you like this carbon copy that we have just put onto yellow paper? It's anyone who has listened to this podcast before any time within the last 6 months, I feel, knows exactly how this is going to go. I don't even have to explain myself. Cleopatra, but I still think they both suck.
Now, I loved Cleopatra and liked Mata Hari and was just frustrated by it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Liz had said she just gets mad every time she hears or thinks about Mata Hari because of just how blatant it is.
Technicolor.
Yeah. It's Cleopatra by a mile here, and I think it's telling that at least so far, that seems to be how we feel, even though we don't necessarily like either song in Danish.
And also, not to say that like Mata Hari did poorly in the final either. Not the worst, you know. It wasn't like San Marino. We'll get to San Marino.
I'm gonna have to give it to Cleopatra as well. I mean, obviously, like I don't hate Mata Hari. I sort of roll my eyes bemusedly at Mata Hari. Cleopatra, I appreciated it for what it was. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be what I would normally listen to, but I realize its place in the Eurovision ecosystem and the niche that it occupies. And yeah, what else?
Azerbaijan is the big hairy spider of Eurovision.
Oh, kill it with fire.
We hate it, but it serves a purpose.
Oh, just keep it away. I'm sorry. I'm highly arachnophobic. I got nothing against Azerbaijan.
Derek,
I'm
say just, something else.
Please.
I think Cleopatra was obviously, you could tell watching the video and watching her. She was, it was very, there was a, it was a very passionate production on every level. They were going for it. They saw a real strong result with it. You could tell. I think they were really upset, and Mata Hari just kind of comes off cross to me as a bit cynical. And it, yeah, it makes me angry. I mean, it's not a terrible song, but when I listen to it, Mata Hari kind of makes me upset a little bit. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, Cleopatra, I mean, not my thing, but I could recognize it. It was a, definitely a solid song and it would have done better.
All right. It's a shutout. Cleopatra over Mata Hari.
Good. I actually can't wait to hear how this next one goes, because this is very fresh, because this is actually the last thing that I listened to before we started this podcast. Next up is Belgium. This is Hooverphonic with two different lead vocalists, though, we should say. This is Release Me from 2020 versus The Wrong Place from 2021, which did surprisingly well with the jury. I think Wrong Place did better than I think we thought it would.
3 points.
Yeah.
Derek, let's put up the field goal in the public vote.
Remind me the name of the vocalist from Release Me.
Luca.
Did that shake-up.
Luca Kreisbergs.
Yeah.
Yes, Luca Honey.
Luca,
I will say I prefer her vocal style better, and I prefer Release Me just a little bit more. Mm. It is clearly more subdued. It still has that slightly boiling emotionality that The Wrong Place also has, but it's Release Me by a hair here for me.
You see, for me, I thought Release Me was certainly very lovely. I think Luca's a very talented performer, and I hope she has a wonderful career in front of her, but it was too sedate. And it just wouldn't have grabbed people's attention, I worry, in the actual show itself. The Wrong Place, however, had this gorgeous, lush, slow burn to it that just absolutely captured me, and had this comfort level amongst the band, you know, having the original lead singer, Heike, you know, back with the group. For me, it's The Wrong Place by a mile.
Agreed. I think, yeah, the song from last year, Release Me, gorgeous. Absolutely phenomenal song. It would have been a tough sell. I think we talked about at the time, both when they released it and when we did like our song previews, that we had no idea how would they stage it. How would they set it up so there was a call to action? The Wrong Place didn't have that problem at all. At all. It was super cool, super well done. Obviously, I guess in terms of Eurovision results, especially public vote, there was a ceiling to it. But it was awesome. When we're talking about Eurovision, it's the wrong place for sure.
All right, Derek, as our resident Hooverphonic stan.
Oh my God. I think in terms of Eurovision, Release Me was a bit of a misfire, and a lot of the kind of general reaction, people just weren't really getting into it. I think The Wrong Place just felt so assured and so comfortable in itself, and stylistically it just was cool. I still like the Release Me, but I don't think it was the right song for the contest. Where I do think The Wrong Place was a good choice to showcase what their style is, the kind of old and new blending of their kind of their evolution as a band. And I'm surprised the public vote was as low as it was, but there was a lot of really strong stuff at the top. So
All right, so that brings us to a score for Belgium for 1 point for Release Me and 3 for The Wrong Place.
This is the first time we've actually picked the 2021 song. It's still early, but
it is true.
Yeah, we're only 4 songs in.
Well,
as you
here
move.
We are. I mean, let's get to Bulgaria. That's next now. This is,
I have a feeling this will be a good
Tears Getting Sober versus Growing Up Is Getting Old.
We should point out Tears Getting Sober was number one in the betting odds as the show was canceled. So going into the contest, mm-hmm. going into rehearsals, Tears Getting Sober had a lot of momentum.
I still can't believe that, because every time I go back and listen to that song, I can't help but fixate on that awful Disney soundtrack ending tag on the song. That's
same.
A little string plus oboe. I think I can't get into either of these songs. I wish I could abstain, but I am a participant in this podcast, so I will simply go with what I think is the more artistically worthy song and just say Growing Up Is Getting Old.
I'm a very two weird minds about this. Tears Getting Sober got me more immediately. Growing Up Is Getting Old was a slower burn that I liked more in the end. So when it comes to my personal taste, I would go for Growing Up Is Getting Old. However, for the purposes of a contest where you're trying to capture people's imagination and people's interest in a quick moment, in 3 minutes, mm-hmm. Tears Getting Sober would probably be the right choice. Yeah. However, I'm splitting hairs at this point. I think they were on par with each other. I think that Victoria was very consistent between the 2 years. It's really hard for me to say. If I could split my vote here, I would. All right, I'm going to have to go against my own personal preference and say Tears Getting Sober probably would have been a better choice for the actual contest itself, which is what we're doing here. So, okay, Tears Getting Sober for me.
I'm just going to go ahead and agree with Sam. I think Tears Getting Sober had a little bit more immediacy. I think they're both excellent songs. I think Victoria's an amazing singer. That she came in 10th was a little disappointing. I was hoping a little bit better than that, but I think Tears Getting Sober really could have done something impressive. I don't know if it would have won, but I imagine it would have had a stronger finish.
Yep, that's about where I'm at too. I also don't think it would have won. I don't really get why it was the favorite at any point. It's a very, very nice song, but it doesn't feel Eurovision winner to me. I imagine these both would have been staged pretty similarly, would be my guess. So it really kind of does come down to the song and the mood and so on. But yeah, I think Tears Getting Sober would be my pick here as well. I think, again, don't think it would have won. I think it would have done a little bit.
All right, so that is 3 for Tears Getting Sober, 1 for Growing Up Is Getting Old. All right, we roll on to the Czech Republic. Benny Christo, Que Mama versus Oh My God. Where do we want to start with this?
This one is so hard to say because, like Eric said, I think his live performance was what led him down. I think Oh My God was a better song, but I mean, in the end, it would have been all on him to do the performance.
Here's the thing is, I can't see Que Mama being elevated much past where Oh My God got. Weird one here.
It was a bop, Que Mama, but it was like a subtle bop that would have been kind of weird to present and sort of, I think Oh My God would have been a bit more immediate and a bit more embraceable I like them both. I genuinely like them both. I'm going to have to say Oh My God here.
Same. Yeah. I mean, knowing what we know now, you know, if staging may have been a difficult thing either way, then I think I just need to go with whichever song is better. And that's Oh My God. Easy. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's it.
Is that a shutout then? 4-0?
Dirk.
Or 0-4?
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one where we're going to be splitting hairs a little bit more. I think we move on to Estonia. Ukusudi stay with What Love Is versus The Lucky One.
What are you talking about? What Love Is was legitimately bad. It was terrible. There was no way to actually enjoy it.
You know
the
what?
Lucky,
I just...
The Lucky One has the Wieso factor.
I
better like, it has the Neil Breen of, you know, it has its camp in its emotional magnitude. It is so cranked up to 11. Nobody has any self-awareness about how utterly hysterically rich people have problems too. It looks, it is, but this is even more than like Oh My God versus Que Mama for me. This is an absolute no-brainer. I will never be more certain of anything for the rest of this podcast. It's The Lucky One.
I too will vote for the Birdemic of his new songs and say The Lucky One.
I feel like I've adopted this song as my own. Like I really feel a connection to my hatred for this song.
It's so beautiful.
And now, I mean, just to be completely like, let us stick to the rules of what we are doing here. Also, What Is Love was bad, and The Lucky One was much more serviceable. I am still surprised, a little bit surprised that it didn't make the cut, but I will say The Lucky One had a better shot than What Love Is.
Yeah, What Love Is was really bad. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want about The Lucky One, and we have.
And we do.
And we'll continue to do so. For years to come, I expect. We're going to be talking about this song somehow. It still didn't qualify. I don't think either of these songs are qualifiers by any stretch, but this was absolutely an upgrade. Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with The Lucky One. I didn't actually expect this to be a debate. I really just wanted to rile up Danny and see what kind of hot takes he would come up with. But yeah, it's The Lucky One. Like, it's the same songwriting team, give or take, for Estonia. But it's, you know, you've had a year to sit on things, a year to refine, a year to upgrade, and a year to turn the up. I don't know what other word there is to describe what that was, but yes. You okay there?
Pearl I'll jam it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
It's interesting that this is another example of a guy who came back with more or less the same kind of song.
Sure.
And yeah. But this one was a definite upgrade, which was really nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is another discussion that I think is going to be opinionated yet short. Georgia. Take Me As I Am versus You.
This is a choice between Take Me As I Am, which seemed purposely orchestrated to alienate Eurovision as a contest, against You, which seemed like they had taken Tornike Kipriani and give him a nice, you know, Ethel Kennedy lobotomy.
Is it Ethel or was that Rosemary?
Rosemary? Rosemary Kennedy style lobotomy.
Either way.
Yeah. That being said, I'm going to go with the lobotomy. Goes to You.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
Really?
I just Take Me As I Am is a song that I cannot listen to. You is a song that I can allow myself to listen to.
Huh. Give yourself permission.
Yeah, as a treat. No, I mean, You is cartoonishly unoffensive. Take Me As I Am is very combative. That's why.
Yeah, no, I like the combativeness because we don't see that enough.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to agree. Take Me As I Am had one thing going for it, and that was that it was very aggressive and unlike really anything we've gotten at the contest. It was standoffish, and yeah, that was not going to go well with really anyone.
I think a lot of smaller countries would have liked the message of Take Me As I Am, because I mean he was calling out like the big six, you know, or the big five,
the Spanish guy.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of smaller countries who are probably sitting there like, yeah, screw Spain, France, in Italy with your shoes and, you know, stuff like that. I think there was a market for that I think some people would have related to, especially because of, you know, the whole politics around the EU and Brexit and stuff like that. Maybe that's there's a voice out there who wants to hear that.
It would have spoken to someone, I guess. I don't know how many points it would have translated into.
Yeah, I don't think either of these would have had a chance to qualify. However,
not a chance in hell.
Yeah, Take Me As I Am. Yeah, Take Me As I Am at least inspired something. Mm. It elicited a response, whether it was good or bad. You was just there. It is the best comment that I could give to you in terms of, you know, a positive. If I had to give something, it's like I could meditate to this. I could doze off on an airplane while listening to this. That's not the compliment that I want to be giving to my Eurovision songs. With Take Me As I Am, Tornike seemed engaged with the performance of it. It was something new. It was something different. It was something polarizing. With You, the way that Tornike was performing it, it looked like he'd been sedated. And I'm honestly, it looked like he was performing it under duress. And I felt uncomfortable watching his song this year because it felt like he didn't want to be there.
I mean, did you see his interview on the turquoise carpet where he was asked about the song? And he really seemed like he didn't even want to talk about it.
Right. Like, it just...
Like they asked him, like, what's your song about? And he said, well, just listen to it. It's like, dude.
Yeah, so I have to give it to Take Me As I Am. Like, yeah. He just seemed completely checked out by the end of it. And you have to actually show up emotionally if you want to show up at the contest.
True.
I just want to note again, Danny picked You.
I picked You.
I just
listen to it.
I just All right, next we've got, oh, it's Greece. Supergirl, Last Dance. What do we think? I'll start. I like Supergirl a lot. But Last Dance finished in the top 10. I don't think Supergirl was gonna do that.
No, I don't think so.
No. I really enjoy Supergirl for what it is, but I think knowing what we know, got to be Last Dance here.
I think my opinion of Supergirl might have been a little bit more representative of what other people would have thought, which is just that it is, you know, a nice and not exactly the most factory made pop song. But weirdly enough, Last Dance feels a bit closer to factory made, but it's just better. Last Dance, no question.
I'm going to say Last Dance too. I think Supergirl was a little too niche. And by niche, I mean like high school demographic.
Yeah. Pants Dance.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I mean, I'm no real fan of Last Dance. I thought it was, you know, just not for me personally, but in mm-hmm. terms of its performance at the contest, how people have glommed onto it, I personally prefer, you know, the little bit more of an ethnic touch in Supergirl. Last Dance could have been from anywhere really, but in terms of its performance at the contest, how it did overall, got to give it to Last Dance. So that makes it a shutout. 4 for Last Dance, 0 for Supergirl.
Take that, Supergirl. You suck.
This is your Supergirl
any longer.
Yeah.
All right. It's time. Yeah, time for this Iceland is an interesting now.
One. Now the bar here is what, fourth place?
Yeah.
So to speak. And I mean, yeah, we can judge this however we want. I think About Things was probably top two in 2020. So yeah. I think I gotta go with that. I also just think it's a better song. And I think it had the benefit of, it had a certain novel benefit. There was a novelty to it. It was lost a little bit in 10 years just because we'd kind of seen it. This was one song where I really think that does matter a little bit. So the original Genuine Article got to be Think About Things for me.
I think so too. And I think we can say, I think 10 years, I think Daddy Freyr sort of realized that he had maybe lost a little bit of that novel momentum, but the guy still has a crazy amount of talent and personality that I think 10 years did remarkably well, but I think people had already been exposed to him. And I think he would have done even better if people were coming into him completely fresh. I mean, the guy was a TikTok dance meme. So I think About Things really sort of proved itself outside the contest. Think About Things for sure, which is remarkable to say.
I genuinely love both of these. When it comes to my personal opinion, I cannot separate the two. I think that audiences tended to grasp onto Think About Things a little bit more immediately. I agree with you with the sort of sense of novelty. So while on a personal level, I cannot split these two apart, I think on a competitive level, Think About Things takes it by a hair for me. Derek?
I think if we're looking at this from a hypothetical standpoint, and he was going to the contest and no one ever heard it before, and he had to choose between these two songs, if we look at it that way, I think About Things would have done better or gotten a little bit more speed. I feel like 10 years is a really good follow-up to Think About Things.
Yeah.
But had, you know, we're talking about like the novelty wore off. Well, let's say last year he showed up and his song was 10 years and Think About Things was never released or hadn't been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
Would we have reacted the same way? I don't think so, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a good song, but I don't think it would have gotten the same kind of traction.
Nice.
All right. So that is 4-0 to Think About Things, which is really impressive considering how well 10 years did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on alphabetically to Ireland, Story of My Life versus Maps.
I'm gonna
say, this
is a
tough one.
I don't think this one's that hard because I think we've seen Maps performed live and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a song that worked really well in studio. I just don't think she had the ability to translate that on stage, just the way the song was written. I think Story of My Life just worked much better watching her perform it live, like even the home concert. She sounded great. I think that one would have worked. Yeah. I feel like Maps was just kind of all over the place.
Sure. I think Maps is the finer song. If we're talking about like a fine-tuned, fantastic show of talent, not necessarily splashy, but just a very mature and refined pop song. Story of My Life, though, at first blush, you know exactly what it does, what it is, and chances are you're gonna like it. She got a ton of comparisons to Katy Perry, like Katy Perry's old style. When that music video first came out, I think it's gonna be Story of My Life as well. I think it stands out way more than Maps does.
I agree. I think that Story of My Life is more immediately consumable, immediately memorable, and has a broader net to cast. Maps, I think, is a beautiful song, a really, really gorgeous. I love the song in studio. The live version, there was an attempt made. No guts, no glory. I appreciate the fact that she went for it.
Mm-hmm.
But Story of My Life, I think, would have probably done better. I mean, honestly, I couldn't have done much worse, which breaks my heart because I love Maps.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have
place. Yeah, the idea is, would Story of My Life have come in last place in their semi?
No,
and I really do not think so. Yeah,
definitely not. It's still a tough sell as a qualifier, I think. And it kind of hurts me to say that. But no, it's Story of My Life, I think. At worst, it's a borderline qualifier. At best, it's honestly quite a bit better than that. Even.
We have made the right choice here. Good.
All right. So yeah, that's 4-0 to Story of My Life over Maps for Ireland as we roll on to Israel. Feka Levi versus Set Me Free.
Yeah, we haven't disagreed in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of unanimous ones here. So Feka Levi.
Don't worry, Latvia's next.
Cool. All right, Feka Levi, Set Me Free. Who's going to take it?
I've gushed enough about Set Me Free. And Feka Levi is, I think I can compare it to Maps. It's a fine song. It's an artistically accomplished song. But Set Me Free, I like better. It's more immediately bangery. I was about to say bangable, which would be bad. For me, it's Set Me Free. by a country mile. And I will specify especially after the revamp.
Yeah, I would say, I'm not trying to be disparaging here, but I think Set Me Free showed a lot more production quality, sophistication, maturity. I think it worked because it sort of embraced the young love, and she's kind of young, and it kind of had this youthful energy to it. But I feel like Set Me Free felt a little bit more, like I said, sophisticated, that I think that worked for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Set Me Free had a lot more polish, especially like y'all said, after the revamp. It was more well produced. I thought it was just a better vehicle for this competition. That High Note showcasing that ability, I think, was really incredible. I think the thing that was missing from Set Me Free, however, was the cultural elements that were present in Fekir Libi. And I did miss that. I thought that it was nice that a little bit of Hebrew made its way into Set Me Free, but having the four languages pop up in Fekir Libi would have been a really very cool moment. But all in all, not to give it to Set Me Free, but it's pretty close for me.
It set me free for me as well, I think. Why can't we fight? Anyway, it's just a better song, I think. I know that when all of the like fan vote things came through and, Eurostream and all that, Israel effectively be qualified in a lot of those. And that was surprising to me because I just didn't think it was that great. But it people seem to really like it. But even so, I just think Set Me Free is a better song. And so give me that.
Good.
All right. So that is 4-0 Set Me Free over Fekir Libi. And we move on to Latvia, which Eric, in our little handy dandy guide, Eric, do you want to tell us how you wrote this down in our cheat sheet here?
Yeah, I would love to, actually. This is 2020 song against 2021 song. Anyway, this is, Still Breathing against The Queen.
All right. So this is a choice between whether or not I want to listen to a set of old-timey factory gears grinding up a couple of beer bottles, or if I want to listen to radio feedback being played over the noises of hogs squealing. And honestly, I think I'm going to have to choose the hogs squealing in this case. Mark me down for hogs squealing, Eric.
I'm sorry, which one was that?
That is, believe it or not, The Moon is Rising.
I think this is another case where the song's
not
qualifying.
If only because of the Queen!
Yeah, I think this is both the case of the song's not qualifying either way. So which one is better for her, is better for the contest, is better in general? And for me, I think it's Still Breathing. I think it's a more cohesive song and a better song, honestly. So yeah, Still Breathing gets my vote here. Finally, we disagree.
Yeah, how it took a couple of songs. Yeah. Derek?
I'm going to go with The Moon is Rising. I feel like it's a bit more coherent. And I completely disagree with Eric. I felt it was a bit more coherent. Yeah. I didn't like it, but I feel like its presence at the contest was important. I like what it was saying, even if I didn't like how it was saying it. I'm sorry she worked so hard to get this kind of result, but I mean, I appreciate the effort, definitely. So
I'm going to have to give it to Still Breathing, even though I'm not a fan of either of them.
Was that your last place last year?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. But then again, The Moon is Rising was one of my second to last place this year. So it's really, and there was something about Still Breathing that kind of got to me after a while. I think it may have just been the meme factor of it. The I am a composer, the sort of the craziness of it that just kind of grabbed me. I'm not sure if it was Stockholm Syndrome after listening to the songs for so long, but after a while, I kind of got it. For me, The Moon is Rising just felt too chaotic to me. And didn't really, even in its chaos, wasn't going anywhere. I'm gonna have to give it to 2020.
Okay.
So we are split 2-2.
That's
on
a split
Latvia
decision.
Hey everybody, just want to let you know the episode this week ran a bit long, so we decided to split it up into two parts. Part one this week, and part two will be coming out next Friday, so look out for that. If you want to reach out to us again, Twitter and Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You know what else I'd like is the stinger at the end of the show. Those are always so clever.